Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and we are starting a new series, a new month. We're going into a new season. This is November 3rd, praise the Lord, going into our Holy Advent season, a season of thanksgiving and joy and rejoicing, a time when we come together with family and friends, and you are our family fellowship Friday learners, and we are so blessed to have you as a part of our fellowship. We are going to listen to a musical selection, and then we will start in on our new look at the green letters. Praise the Lord.
Hello, Blog Talk.
And that is Timothy John Paul Lewis, and he is out of school today because it's a free day. So he wanted to share. Hello, Blog Talk. Praise the Lord.
God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Amen, amen. Watch God provide. So where is our faith? Do we believe that God will provide? And who is this God of all provision, this Jehovah Jireh? Who is he? We are looking at the names of God as they relate to each one, 10 principles of spiritual growth. To start this series, you have been given the e-text of the book by Miles Stanford, along with the consecration of questions to answer when we go through each one of these 18 principles of spiritual growth. This book is a collection of letters that the author wrote to various individuals in their Christian developing stage. He was a member, actually, of a church in Illinois. I believe it's in Warrensville, Illinois. So he's kind of a homegrown author. He did pass in 1999, but not before pending quite a few works based out of the book of Romans, based on the elements that are present in the order in which they are manifested and matured in our Christian growth and development. And so as we look at the list, which is inclusive of the 18 elements, we will be looking at them individually by week. And as we do, there is a group of questions that as we go through them, we want to be able to answer as it relates to each one of these important principles of spiritual growth. And what is a principle? A principle is a fact that you base your thinking on. It is a principle. It is something that's proven to be true, proven to be a part of, if you will, the foundational structure of a thing, no matter what it is. It's an actual, if you think of it, building brick. When they do a foundation on some things, they put brick upon brick, side by side. They kind of have them overlapping one another, going up in a kind of a pattern to provide the ultimate foundation for what is going to be built upon it. And so the structure becomes strong as each one of the building blocks are put into place. And as these blocks are placed and then placed in relationship to each other, they form a very solid foundation, a sure foundation. And this is what the author was sharing with the different readers of the letters that he sent out. And they were little letters that he sent to individuals that had questions and had a place of growth and development that they needed to grow, spiritual growth that they needed to develop. And so as we start in our study of the green letters, I was researching to find out why they were called the green letters. And I know one of the original books that was just one of the topics in it, gave an explanation at the end of it. I can't find the original book. We most available are the books that include all five of his works, and so it's called the complete Green Letters because it gives all of the information over the years were compiled into one offering. This is interactive. I do pray that you have done your reading. One of the books that is suggested that we be familiar with as we go through the Green Letters is the book of Romans, because much of what the author is sharing, he's sharing based on those principles. I thought it was very interesting because in CCTI, that was one of the books that was a part of, I believe, Unit 1 or Unit 2, for us to look at, and it was a very extensive work and a very helpful one for me personally from the book of Romans. And so it may be to your advantage to pull that book out if you have it and do some review of it. So one of the things the author is presenting to us is the not I, but Christ. And this is a part of the, if you will, the cement that will hold these blocks together and keep them in place, keep them from sliding and moving and getting out of line with the chief cornerstone. Praise God. So we do want to make sure that we become familiar not only with the book of Romans, but also with the not I, but Christ. And what does that really look like? And so one of the things in this particular principle, the principle of faith, we're told to examine ourselves. So I thought it would be fun if we took a little test. We've taken this test before, and I pray that you have a notebook so that you're journaling based on the consecration so we can kind of see what our numbers look like now and then what they look like when we end this session. And we probably should do this after each book that we read because each one should be able to bring us to another level of our development spiritually. And so when it asks us to examine ourselves, you may say, well, how do I examine myself? Well, as we have been studying over the year, last year and year before, the best measurement of, I'll ask my listeners, what do you think is the best evidence of your faith? Good morning. You're all live and on the air. You take your phones off mute and be interactive with us this morning. What would be the best evidence of our spiritual growth in the God? Of our abiding in Christ. How do we know? How do we know that's where our faith is? How do we know? Good morning.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
I would say that by our behavior, changes in our behavior, that our behavior will line up with the word of Christ. Kind of like the fruits of the Spirit, being able to see some kind of demonstration or demonstrative change in who we were from a personal standpoint. And then I'd say probably our best outside mirror, if you will, would be the people that we love and live with who are usually the first line of who catches all of our stuff. So when there's a change in us,
amen,
that they would see it.
Amen. Amen. And one of the key things that the elder mentioned is the fruit of the Spirit. And so we won't read them all and get your scores, but I will ask you to send me your email, and I'll send it out to you. And I do. I ask you to read through it and get your score as it relates to your fruit inspection, doing that fruit inspection, a guide, just a tool, just kind of see a personal evaluation, because we're asked to examine ourselves. And where is our faith? And our faith would be evident in the fruit and the level of fruit, and how we respond to life is based on what we believe. And it is easy to love your enemy and to pray for them. And I like some of the questions that they ask that you have to answer and score yourself from 0 to 10, 10 being you do it very well. But do you see all people through the eyes of Christ? The gentleman that ran over the joggers, or the shooter in Las Vegas, do we see all people through the eyes of Christ? And can we love them and pray for them as we have been commissioned to do? Do we have a deep compassion for the lost? Those people are lost. Do we have a deep compassion, not just a compassion, but a deep compassion that brings out of us a devotion to what the Word says we should be on their behalf? And so that gives us a gauge of what we believe and what we how our beliefs control our emotions. And as a result, our emotions control our actions. So as a result, you're able to see this growth and development when your actions are, if you will, Christ-like. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So we want to start with... Actually, I felt like there the prayer that the author, we see that the e-text is given to us, and because of the great benefit that prior individuals having looked and read this information, how they feel about this book. And so there is a prayer, and that prayer we're going to pray together, and it's in your e-deck. So if that just becomes the prayer that we pray each time we start to read our lesson, those who have placed it into this e-deck have said, instead of, Lord, getting royalties from this or people paying for it, we just pray that their prayer, that you, O God, will continue working in their heart to convince them of the sin in their own heart, enabling them to experience his victory over them and sovereignly gift me with the desire to be the thing he has called me to, the wisdom to recognize what he has not called me to do, and Jesus Christ himself living in and through me powerfully to bear fruit for his glory, fruit that will remain. We pray that God will move to minimize and resolve conflict with other believers in our life and maximize our fellowship with one another. Again, oh God, this is the ministry of one another who are truly committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. And that you, O God, would order our path and give us personal opportunity to minister to individuals and groups. And that you, O Lord, will give your wisdom and insight to address the problem and meet the needs of the moment by applying to the situation at hand the truth of your eternal word. O God, we thank you that you are a hearer of our prayers and that our confidence is in you, O Lord, and in the fact that and we pray it in the name of your holy son, Jesus, that you have promised to hear and answer our prayer. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And so we want our studying and our coming together with these basic principles of Christian, to become our Christian exercise, a spiritual exercise. The principles are stated in such a way, this is from the foreword in the book, in such a practical form that it's rewarding to read and rereading them, and of course, put them into practice. So we want to look at the first, we'll look at an overview of all of the elements as the author has listed them. And he starts with faith, then time, acceptance, and purpose, preparation, complete in him, appropriation, identification, consecration, self-denial, the cross, discipleship, process of discipleship, rest, help, cultivation, and then finally continuing in faith. So we want to go to our consecration and look at what offerings you have this week as you look through. The questions are, there are 18 principles, and when we study each one, faith, we want to meditate on it, study it, meditate on, then yield to the Spirit of God for new depths of application. Daily praise offerings for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thanking them, recognizing their role in each one of these areas developing in our life, and what the name of God that it represents. Meditate and listen for the reality of this principle and how the Spirit of God desires to use this principle of faith in our Christian walk and lifestyle. How is he going to change it? How will this principle affect you, affect me, this week, this day, as we have read through it? And what's the truth that we've learned about this biblical definition, biblical definition of faith? And we so often hear faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, and we know that, and we can talk through it and on many different levels. And for me, I had read it, I believe, just want to get it right, out of the Easy Read Bible. And everywhere that it was faith, I placed in the meaning they had, which is confidence and assurance. Faith is confidence. Examine yourself whether ye be in the confidence and assurance of the name of God, that item, that exercise of faith is putting forth. So are we, and we examine our actions or our answers to the food inspection, is it based on a confidence and an assurance in God? Can someone get Psalms 165 and 119, Psalms 165 and 119. I don't want to read that. If you could get that for me, please. And so it says, obviously without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if we take all of those faith scriptures that we have, and that we know, and where it says faith, put in without confidence and assurance in the name of God, it is impossible to please him. Now, how can we please him if we don't know him with that name, of that name of him? So what name have you ascribed to build this principle of faith in your foundation so that it is unmovable, that it is solid, that it will provide a strong a beginning for what is going to be built on top? It's just faith is based on scriptural facts. So what scriptural facts do we know about the name of God? That's kind of the way we want to look at each one of these principles. And so I'll share with mine. Yes.
I was just going to ask you what version, excuse me, I was going to ask you what version you were looking for that Psalms 119.
If you can give me, start an easy read and then a regular version, be great.
Easy read. I don't know if I have easy,
or,
I have American.
Okay,
I have Common English Bible, American Standard, Contemporary English. I'm not sure if that's
okay.
What you're talking about. And let's see if I have the right one. You said Psalms 119. So the American Standard Version says...
No, Psalms 165. Oh, no, that can't be right.
No, so it only goes to 150, right? Let me just...
Right.
There's the 119, 165. That's what I thought you meant.
Okay,
no?
that sounds better than
that. Okay. Well, that sounds more doable. Okay, in the American Standard Version, it says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and they have no occasion for stumbling." Now, that same one in the Common English Bible, if that's the version that you're looking for.
Yes, that's fine.
Says it didn't stay on the same verse. Bear with me 1 second, I apologize. In the Common English Bible, the 165th verse says, "These people who love your instruction enjoy peace and lots of it. There is no stumbling for them."
Amen. And that's a confidence and an assurance. But it is based on knowing, he says, those people that know your law. So it's those that know you, know who you are, know what you said, know what is true, know what you have established in the earth realm, and have a confidence, have an assurance of it, because they have tried it, and it is, and they found it to be true. They have tried you and God, and he has proven himself to be faithful and true, ever faithful and true. And so the name of God I chose, and we can all just, you know, share the name that you know, provided the power, and that's what for me was important, that the name of God, and as it's shared in, I need to print this out, I can't go from, file to file, but her name, the name of God in the consecration is, for faith, is Jesus, head over every power and authority, and God the Father, the potter. For me, it was Ancient of Days, God being the Ancient of Days, and the scripture that puts the power in it for me, the truth in it for me, the strength in it for me, comes out of Daniel, the book of Daniel. When it says, "I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his feet. His vestment was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure gold. His throne was ablaze with flame. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and a myriad upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the book was open. And that just gave me such a visual and an illustration of the power of who my faith is in. And then it says, that was for God, the Ancient of Days, and then Jesus, name above all names, power and authority over all, King of kings, because he has defeated every other king and kingdom and will judge the world. And so in Daniel as well, it says, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And so these two names of God attached to this spiritual principle of faith gives me a confidence and an assurance that whatever these two say to me through the third of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, that I can trust that. I can do that. I can pray for my enemy because I know that God is going to be the ruler and the judge of all things, and that he is mighty and that he is powerful, and that nothing is going to get beyond him. Nothing can get past him, and that he has everything in control, and he sits in authority. And the fact that it's Ancient of Days is like before days started. They were so ancient. It's just there's no beginning. Ancient of Days, giving it that feeling of, not the feeling, but the understanding or slight understanding, because I'm sure you can't fully understand what came as eternity before I was born and will come as eternity after I was born. But to understand that wherever it came or happened, God was already there. And so that is the basis of the spiritual fact of my faith. And so that is the kind of thing that when it becomes a decision on going in my spiritual growth and development, when it becomes a decision on do I do what I believe God is saying, or do I do, what appears to be right, appears to be the answer, is the established way that the world says it should go. These are all some things that the author brings out. You know, is it based on your speculation or presumption or conjecture? You know, or is it, you know, am I leaning to my own understanding? Which will I do? It's like, well, I don't know. I think I'll go with the one that's Ancient of Days, and the other one who was presented to the Ancient of Days and was given all authority, dominion, and power. And so what are some of the spiritual facts that we know and we base our faith on? And it says, because this is how we please God. We please God because if you know this about God and you believe this about God, this is where your faith is, then God is going to be our champion. He's going to show up so that our faith and our confidence and the assurance we have in him and who we know him to be won't falter because he won't fail. He will produce, if you will, or he will manifest himself to us just because we love him like that. And it says those that love your law, you know, he causes us to be steady. He holds us up. And so our faith is sure. It's not leaning on something that's tiddling this way or that, depending on who's in charge of the world and who's in charge of America, who's in charge of your job or what your kids are doing or what your finance company is saying. It's got nothing to do with any of those things. It's not an impression that we have. You know, the impression of the way life is now, it's his impressions have neither one thing nor the other to do with faith. So it doesn't matter. Faith has to do with the Word of God. It's what's in the Word of God. It's not the impression, a strong, no matter whether it's strong or weak. It just seems that way. It says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge that name of God that you've chosen, that you've been drawn to in this season. Acknowledge it. And he will. He promises. Cannot not do it because he said, I will direct your path. As the author continues, he says, then two probabilities are the big temptation when it comes to exercising our faith. So we'll say, you know, I don't know if I should do that because it probably won't work. And we're viewing something in the natural. We're viewing the way something appears that it might happen because of the way the world has defined it to be. And so we have to realize that it's got nothing to do with probability. It has nothing to do with the way things look. It's one of the things I love about Evangelist James' ministry. Sight unseen. This is unseen, but it is known. We've seen the sight spiritually because we have gleaned the truth from the Word of God as God revealed himself to us through his word. He says, this is who I am. And that sight unseen, we have not seen God, but we have seen his word. And we see its truth lived out in the life of those who believe and in the word of God. It has come to pass as he said that it would. And so as a result of that, our faith has to come from a certainty. It has to come from a knowledge of God's purpose and God's will. If we're not sure what the will of God is, then how certain is our faith? And it says it has to be certain that you're walking in God's will. And one of the things we learned in Abide in Christ was to know the will of God, was to be obedient to the word of God. And obedience was the path to intimacy with God, to being drawn close to him. And once you're drawn close to him, his secrets are shared with us. Revelation of his will are given to us, as it was to John in the Last Supper. He was leaning on the breast of the Savior. And because he was there, he was given information that the others didn't have. But because he was there, he was given the revelation of God on the Isle of Patmos. So the will and the word of God and the revelation of the truth is revealed to those who obey him, those who love his law. What you love, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. And so we're not under the law, but the law being representative of the word of God. We love the word of God. We love what it says because of who it's sharing with us. It's sharing the heart of God to us. Christ came in all of his word. He says, everything I say and everything I do is so that the Father can be revealed to you. And we have to love that revelation that Christ gave us of who the Father is, and that's what our faith is based on, that certainty. So it comes from obedience and becoming intimate with God, and then as we obey his voice, it is then he reveals the next step. step in our journey. Our thinking, our hope, our spirit will develop a confidence in God, and he, because he will be found to be tried and found to be true, because his word is true. And so it says, without that, there can be no true faith. Now, we may kind of believe, and I don't want to say faith is not believing or believing is not faith, but believing is hearing the fact. Faith is standing on it. So we can hear it. You know, it's like, you know, how many times people will say something, you say, I hear what you say, but. So we really do hear. We believe that's what you're saying, but I can't base my actions on it because I don't trust it. And so faith is having that confidence and the assurance in, now I hear you, and I'm going to stand on that. And so that's where faith manifests itself once we believe. There has been so many times that we heard the word of God, and we did. We believed it, and so as a result, we were saved. We were able to hear that he died for our sins. We believed that. And so we then had faith in that fact and became a part of the household of Christ. I think it's at the next truth that we are slow to embrace, and that is the fact that he rose again. And in his rising, he rose in power. And that power has been given to us. And we kind of learned that it was expressed to us in abide in Christ. So now that's where we are. Before, we're believing. We hear it. You know, I know I'm saved. I know I'll go to heaven. But now it becomes hit me as a vessel to display or to manifest what you look like, you know, as I abide in you and your fruit is cultivated through my life as the husbandman prunes and checks us out and examines us, and that which we find is not like him, then our prayers lead us in the path of righteousness. And so as we look at this sharing on the faith, it says we need to come to know the one who presents and upholds them. And that what name of God helps to bring a confidence and an assurance in your soul so that your faith will stand without stumbling. The scripture says, those of us, he will make sure, you know, that we stand fast. We, you know, unto him is able to keep us from falling and to deliver us. Again, that being sealed by Holy Spirit, being delivered through the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then thanking them every day for that faith that brought us to this place, that faith that he gave us, a measure of faith to begin with. And then he gave us his word through his Son so that faith could grow from faith to faith to faith, that we would grow in closer and closer and closer in intimacy to him so he could reveal himself even the more to us, so that we can then reveal to the world him. And so it's to know him who represents and enholds us, and that this is life eternal. I love this scripture. That they might know thee, the only true God. This is the whole purpose of our salvation, is so that they may know the only true God. That was why Christ came. His whole purpose of coming was so that we would know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through this knowledge of God. Grace and peace. This is where your assurance and your confidence come. And because of that, the assurance and the confidence bring you peace, and the grace brings you the ability, the divine ability to do the will of God, the divine ability to love and to have this joy, to have this peace, to be long-suffering, the divine ability, enablement that comes through Christ to us because we are in him. And it says that it is multiplied unto you through the knowledge. So the more and more that we know of the names of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it multiplies. It doesn't just add to us this grace and peace, but this grace and peace is multiplied. In other words, it's exponential. And not only that, it as it brings a hundredfold, a thousandfold, 60-fold fruit, it then gives also back to those that see. And they then, it says, I will see what God will say. But there is a scripture that says, and as I sing the praises of the Lord, the people will fear and see God. So as we produce and allow, as we allow the production of this holy divine fruit of the Spirit to manifest itself through our life, then we will sing God's praises. And as we praise God, men will fear, because then they will realize there is a living God, because they've seen him work through our life. And so our faith will cause them to then have a basis for assurance and confidence that there is a living God. And as this grace and peace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us, in the divine power, Holy Spirit, unto us all things. Holy Spirit gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. This is where our assurance and our confidence come in the work of the Trinity, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Virtue, he's called us to, first of all, to display the reputation of God, so represent him truly and honestly and purely, be a good representative of him. And that representative of him, that glory and that reputation of God, will bring forth the virtues of God. The virtues of God are the powers of God. The virtues of God is the character of God, the love, the joy, the peace. Those are God's virtues. Those are his characteristics, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. There is that abide in Christ in one sentence there, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. So what are the promises? What promises do you know, the great and precious promises that God has given us? We know it's a promise of eternal life. We got that. But there are other promises that he gives us that will cause our faith to grow and will cause our confidence and our assurance in what we do and how we do it according to his law, according to his word, according to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll have that confidence and that assurance. And so we won't hesitate. We'll hesitate less and less. We'll hear his voice and we will do it because we trust him. He says, and then have this confidence that if you ask me, I'll give it to you. That's a confidence and an assurance. That if you know, you can take your debit card or your bank card and you go to the ATM machine, you know for a fact you got money in the bank. And if they tell you the card doesn't work, you know yourself something's wrong with the card because the money is in the bank. And so that's how we have to look at it. It may be something wrong with how I'm presenting it, but what I need is there, and it belongs to me. So if I got to go in the bank and straighten it out, then that's what I'll do. And that's what he's really asking us to do. Come on into me. You know, if the things that you think you're trying to do, you don't believe work, just get closer to me. Obey me, and you get closer to me, and I will show you. You know, and I will reveal myself, and not just to us, but he will, as the scriptures say, he'll roll up his sleeves on our behalf, and he will reveal himself to our enemy on our behalf, and that we can have this confidence in him. And that is the faith that will sustain and that we can stand on, we can rest in, and we can, it becomes our hope. It becomes the thing that we set our affections on because it's the thing we've learned to value. We've learned that that faith that I have is what I'm dependent on because it's not I anymore, it is Christ. Everything that I need is in him, and he has said whatever is in him, I'm an inheritance of. So,
if
anybody else like to share, yes.
Yes. Hello, good morning. This is Minister Pat. My name of God that I had was My Hope, and that came from Psalms 25:5-21. And Psalm 25:5 says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And then Psalms 21, may integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. And when I was reading that, he gave me our desire to put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hope in God is essential to our being. Hope is a very present help in a time of trouble because God is the hope that is our help. He is our stronghold in time of trouble. He also assures us with the promise that though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. So don't place your hope in the tangible, the mortal, the temporal things of life. And don't build your hope on sand that slip away. Instead, we must build our hope on things eternal. With the psalmist, we must conclude, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. And when I read that, and I got a lot from that. So I was like, wow, that will be my name of God for that teaching. So.
Amen. And so how will that change your week? How did that change your week?
Okay, I didn't hear you say again the phone.
Oh, I said, how did that strengthen your faith and change your week? Your behavior this week.
Okay.
And that's an interesting thought. I don't want to put you on the spot, but that's the kind of thing that I want us to look at. So I hear
okay.
that, and, you know, and I do. You know, I even got excited. You know, I got excited hearing you read it, you know, and saying, you know, a hope makes happy. A hope makes our soul happy. A hope, and it says when your soul is happy, your health is better, honestly. And so you can be in the midst of a thing. I don't know how many people listen to this series of Pastor Bethel for spiritual growth and development for the month of October. But as
yes.
she talked about excuses and the fact that even in the midst of the most awesome challenges and afflictions and trials and that sort of thing, there is a hope that brings such a joy. Don't think we're crazy. Because of how we can respond when we have that kind of hope. There's no sadness. There's only gladness that we have to come to develop. The Lord has to develop in us. And I'm not saying if you don't, then you're not. But just that's where it goes. That's where this relationship with God is leading. He said to have life and to have it more abundantly. He didn't say we wouldn't have trouble and affliction. And actually he said, the closer you get to me, the more you're going to have.
I mean, let's face it, John was on the Isle of Patmos. He had been exiled. But then he had the greatest experience of any, to me, a human being ever existed, except maybe beside Moses. But, I mean, and Abraham. But those kinds of things came through affliction, came through challenges, you know, came through persecution. So what kind of, what does that hope, hope like that, what does it do for your faith?
One thing I believe it does increase your faith, because you have no one but to stand on is the Word of God. And in the midst of whatever you're going through, you can, I know personally for me it's worshiping and praising Him and staying in His Word and reading it, you know, out loud and making it a day by day in His presence, no matter what, just staying in His presence. And so faith for me makes it complete.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Overseer,
yeah.
I didn't, well, I was going to say a preface that I wasn't going to give you a name of God. I mean, there are many,
okay.
But I didn't really have one I had looked at. But when you said it was a scripture that you can stand on when you were talking about the promises, and for me, Proverbs 16:3, that talks about commit thy works and that thought shall be established. When I read that, but when I had sat under a teaching about that, it just kind of just resonated in my spirit. And from that point forward, I was really just able to hold on to that. And in every situation, no matter how big or how small, I mean, it can be something as minor as how do I arrange the dishes in the cabinet because it doesn't look like they're going to fit. Or anything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, from something that
yeah.
benign to major decisions in life, like, you know, what doctor and what to do, just whatever the case may be, God has always, He has always been faithful. And when I ask, when I commit it and thank Him in advance, then it seems like within a very short period of time that I receive information or revelation or inspiration, whatever you want to call it, regarding whatever it is. And usually it's a task. I mean, for me, usually the situation has been that it's a task for something that I need to do. But in some cases, it's been, I guess this would be a task too, on there are a couple things that I want to contact some people on, and the Holy Spirit is just saying, no, wait, no, wait. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how long am I supposed to wait before I can make this contact? But I understand, because He has been faithful in so many other things that, you know, when we hear His voice and He's saying wait, that the best thing to do is just wait. That's not necessarily what I'm feeling.
Yes.
But
yes.
I know that is a truth that you can just stand on. And it's, me, it's great for young believers. It's great for children, because pretty much everybody can kind of get that. Commit your works, and He will establish your thoughts. It gives me the blessed assurance that I don't even have to figure it out. I don't have to think it out. I don't have to know which way to go. Just ask Him, and then wait for His response to me, and then move that way. And when you parlay that with that Psalms 119:165, I don't know if I've ever really paid that much attention. I mean, you always read Psalms 119. Well, I won't say that, but that's a very familiar passage. But that particular verse about that if we love His law, you know, we'll have peace, you know, and we won't stumble.
Yes.
And so to me, just to add that on, you know, not so much that, I mean, yes, in conjunction with, you know, establish our thoughts, but, and if we love His law, because obviously He's not going to instruct us against whatever His word says and whatever His will is, then we can know that, you know, we're walking in that blessed assurance. So that's just a scripture that just blesses me. And I, you know, I mean, I, it just blesses me, and I usually say it to people all the time that, you know, God is so great, and he doesn't even expect me to think for myself, and it just gives me
Amen.
Such peace, because I know I come up with some crazy
yes,
plans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I love it. And you know, when your faith and your faith fact, I put it that way, is added to someone else's faith fact, and that's added to someone else's faith fact,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you combine the scriptures, that becomes a very powerful thing. And I think that's part of fail not to assemble yourself together. Where two or three come, I'm in the midst. And all of these things that we've heard and we know, we've said them, we've repeated them, God is making them even the more powerful in our life, because now we're becoming one. And so where you have, you know, established, you know, your ways, and you think about, you know, the biggest area of warfare is the mind. And so that's a faith fact that will give us an assurance and a certainty and a confidence that God is in control of even that area as it relates to our children and what they see and as it relates to us and what we're exposed to. And then that scripture of hope, you know, being the thing that brings us happiness and joy. So all of these things are powerful faith facts that build or spiritual facts that build our faith. What a hard to say without speaking. Anybody else? That's wonderful. This is exciting. Okay. All right. Well, we are going to look at time for next week. I do encourage you to, whether it's the name of God and even in the name of God, as you related to your scripture in Proverbs, you know, that is the name of God, okay? He's a mind regulator. That's what he does, okay? And to know that aspect of him and that characteristic of what he will establish for us, that being our way and our thinking, is to please him. That pleases him when a man's ways pleases the Lord. Then the Lord blesses them. And that's where our faith is, I won't say rewarded, but that's where our faith is manifested in our behavior because of the multiplication of grace and peace in our life. And peace in our life. I thank you all for sharing. Any more?
Overseer, good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
This
good morning.
Is Margaret.
Good morning.
Praise God, I'm still here. I just wanted to say I enjoyed it. I came in late. I enjoyed that I heard. Due to some technical difficulties, I have not been able to get the book that you sent me. However, I'm working on that. But I just wanted to say good morning, everybody, and I love you guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Love you. Love you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anything we can do to assist, please let us know. Okay.
I certainly appreciate that. And, Overseer, I would like to say in your wisdom, wow, I can't help but think about a month ago you brought up the suggestion about talking to Pastor Minister Deborah about what ministry? Stephen, what is it called?
Stephen
Ministry? Yeah. Well, definitely. Little did I know the events that would come about after that. You just dropped that little. I think I asked the group at one time to pray for my friend Jimmy J because, anyway, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that even the Stephen Ministry would have helped.
Bless you.
So I am going to pursue that. Yeah, I am going to pursue it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
So anyway,
we will be praying for you. Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
Yes.
But I'm being a big girl, okay? And I thank
you. Well,
you can
be a little child of God, and He is the greatest comforter. And I know you know that, and you don't have to kind of fake these words. That's the part I love about. We ain't got to try to fake it no more. He's going to be the one. He says, just stretch out on me, rest in me. That's what I'm here for. And he is.
Amen.
And he truly has shown himself. And his word. Yes, he is. He will bring the comfort. And he will wipe
me.
He said he would, and he'll do it. That I do.
Amen. I know that to be true. All right. Well, thanks again to everybody.
Amen. All right, then.
Amen.
So we thank you all, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week from the Green Letters on the topic of shine. And we want to see how shine and faith will stand together. So not only do we do time, I do want us to then go back and incorporate faith, because remember, you're building a foundation. These are bricks that we're building of support our Christian growth and development. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. And then, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God bless. God bless.